Remember when?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. As we continue to cover the fallout from the financial crisis, let's go back to a time when the markets were on the rise, oh, say, 5.5 years ago. The Iraq War was going on, gasoline prices were under $2, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average was at the 8,000 level. Oh, so much has happened since, and that includes the Dow topping 14,000. Today, it's back to the value of 2003. Another triple-digit loss for blue chips. The Dow closed under 8,000, down more than 400 points yesterday. The NASDAQ flirted with a triple-digit loss and closed down 96. The S&P 500 dropped 52. Markets overseas are in the dumps this morning, too. Asian shares are trading lower on average by about 2 to 7%. The Nikkei taking the biggest hit this morning. European shares are down 2 to 3%. It could be worse. You could be in the auto industry where the transmission's blown and the big three CEOs are asking for a congressional push uphill. But onwards and forwards we go with new models and innovative designs. Here in Los Angeles, there's a huge auto show debuting tomorrow, but the tires are flat with news that a German solar energy company wants to buy GM's Opel unit, and that offers a different vision from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
Solar World, a German solar energy company, wants to transform Opel into Europe's first green car company. GM says Opel isn't for sale, despite the $1.25 billion offer. But automotive industry consultant Eric Noble of the Car Lab says it's only a matter of time.
Rather than trying to put the industry through a 12-step process, I think we're more likely to see outsiders come in and simply deliver different product.
Noble says throughout history, innovation has always come from the outside, not from within. But auto analyst John Wolkonowicz with Global Insight says the auto industry is a different beast.
Automotive development, technology development for green vehicles is extremely costly. And it requires a company as large as a GM or a Ford or a Volkswagen to pull it off.
The only problem is none of the automakers have much of a stomach for costly investments right now. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
The next shoe to drop in the credit crisis could come from the bonds backed by commercial real estate loans. Prices for warehouse, retail, and office space have dropped recently in much of the country, and it could lead to more banks writing down, and write-downs and trouble for companies trying to get credit. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
The value of bonds backed by U.S. commercial real estate loans cratered for a second day yesterday. Investors are worried that the sour economy will lead to a new wave of defaults, this time on commercial loans that financed office buildings, retail stores, and hotels. The loans were made with the expectation that rents would continue to rise. But now those loans are defaulting, and tight credit has made it nearly impossible to refinance. A report from Standard & Poor's found that commercial real estate prices were down more than 1.5% from last year. That's the first annual decline in almost 15 years. So now, commercial mortgage-backed securities are just as risky as those residential mortgage-backed securities that decimated the big New York investment banks. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Oh, those rock and rollers sure do know how to make us wait. But the pickings are good. If you go online today to check out new releases from former Beatle Paul McCartney and his side group The Fireman and heavy metal heads Guns N' Roses, their first CD in 17 years, and seems like we've been waiting for it that long, by the way, will be released in a few days, but you can catch a preview of Chinese Democracy on MySpace today. Only thing is, you can't download it. You can only listen, with promoters hoping you'll love it so much, you just have to shell out some cash to buy it.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. By CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution by carrying the load of 280 trucks by rail. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Gather.com. If it's happening in the world, it's being discussed on Gather. You can join the conversation at Gather.com.
The financial crisis reignited a debate in Britain about the economic benefits of immigration. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Mohammed Khalid, please go to the immigration desk.
Another foreign worker arrives at London's Heathrow. 500 a day have been coming to settle here. If that trend continues, the British population could jump over the next two decades by 15% to 70 million people. But Immigration Minister Phil Wooler says he isn't going to let that happen.
We're introducing the biggest shake-up in immigration policy for 45 years, trying to reassure the country who are worried about these speculation about increased population that they don't need to worry.
Britain has run one of the most liberal immigration policies in Europe, but now the government's cracking down, making it tougher to get in. Willis says in hard economic times with rising unemployment, high levels of immigration will only cause trouble. Sir Andrew Green is head of a group called Migration Watch.
If you're in a small island and England is 12 times as crowded as the United States, if you're in a small island, that starts to matter.
He also argues that immigration leads to higher public spending on things like education and healthcare, and that extra cost outweighs the benefits of immigration to the economy. Overall, he says, the national gain from large-scale immigration is minimal.
In the UK, the benefit to the host population is about 0.1% of GDP per year.
But many employers say immigrants are vital, bringing new skills and energy to the workforce and doing jobs that Brits don't want to do. Mukim Ahmed owns a popular chain of Indian restaurants in the UK. He says that even in a downturn when jobs are scarce, he couldn't run his business without immigrants.
English-born staff here don't want to do the dirty works of cleaning and cooking for someone and waiting on someone. So we have to bring in labourers from abroad. We've got no other choice.
Nonetheless, the crackdown is popular with the public. According to one recent poll, more than 70% of Brits want a cut in immigration. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.